This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, it's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
After Antifa members and Antifa sympathizers and Antifa supporters threw some pretty high-profile fits at soccer games across this country for the MLS, including a walkout at a Seattle Sounders match at CenturyLink that we talked about a couple weeks ago, MLS, Major League Soccer, decided to cave. They decided to cave, allowing now these fans to wave the Iron Front flag at games. So right now, in 2019, the league that loves to talk about how inclusive they are, a buzzword for progressives, they are so inclusive, they now welcome into their culture fringe activists that proudly proclaim their support of groups that violently confront political opponents, calling everybody who disagrees with them white supremacists, Nazis, fascists, who call out cops as pigs and bastards, who should be shot and killed. These people are welcome into CenturyLink Field once again, and every other field in the MLS, to wave the Iron Front flag at games, all in the name of their blind loyalty to an ideological cause that they hold near and dear to their hate-filled, intolerant hearts. And as a result of that, they've just opened themselves up to, I think, some unintended consequences. In fact, it's being called out by a former U.S. men's national team member. So the 2019 season, at the beginning of the year, the MLS said to all of these different clubs, these groups, fan groups all across the country for all of the teams, hey, you cannot use this flag because it's political and controversial. We don't want that on our stadiums. You can bring other stuff, but this is one of those things we're not allowing. They decided to bring them anyway. They decided to show up and wave them anyway. And it put some teams like the Sounders in a tough spot because they don't want to go after fans who are incredibly loyal, even though they're more loyal to ideology than they are to the sport and the team. But they don't want to do that while also not wanting to tick off MLS. And a lot of folks within a group called Emerald City Supporters, ECS, or Guerrilla FC, these fan groups, they knew that the Sounders weren't going to do anything, so they decided to bring the flag anyway, and they forced this issue. They acted like children, and as a result, the MLS yesterday announced that for the remainder of the year, four more games, plus postseason, you can bring the Iron Front flag to games, but they're going to create some sort of working group, according to Mark Abbott, the MLS president and deputy commissioner. They're going to form a working group of different voices, fans, and what they call a cross-section of diversity and inclusion experts to come up with a policy that better reflects the wishes of the league and the wishes of the fans. Something tells me the cross-section of experts will probably not have representatives who share conservative voices, conservative principles and values. That's a guess. I'm not entirely sure. We'll see. Now, what is this all really about? Well, the Iron Front logo has been co-opted by Antifa. The people who run roughshod over political opponents, the ones who go after cops, the ones who commit, in my opinion, a domestic terrorist act in Tacoma at the ICE detention center. They've used that as they go ahead and hurt, physically hurt, political opponents. And despite that fact, you've got a group of fans, quote-unquote fans, that want to wave that flag around. And anyone who joins ECS, this fan group, anyone who speaks out against them, they immediately get bullied online or in person. The horror stories I have heard from a number of ECS members are staggering. And frankly, scary, because these people seem sometimes crazy. I've got a whole bunch of details on my blog today. In fact, if you text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770, I'll go ahead and send you a link to my story. It's incredibly important for us not to give up on this fight. We've lost right now, but we may not lose next season unless we decide to give up. Text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. 877-877. I'll send you a link to my story because you'll hear from people like this member who I didn't identify because this member doesn't want to have to deal with all of the harassment that comes with it. He was at the game where there was a walkout and he said to me, I, my friend, and my wife also dislike the methods and intimidatory tactics of Antifa and do not feel that fascism has a strong enough hold in the Northwest to warrant having to go down the path chosen by our supporter groups and those of the Portland Timbers. I strongly disagree with ECS attempts to label anyone who doesn't agree with their signs and slogans as somehow fascist or racist. This is not inclusionary at all, and it's a myth propagated by the three above supporter groups to exclude those who have no wish to join Antifa in order to show their anti-fascism feelings. And that's really what this is about. And it cuts to the concerns a lot of people have with folks like this in the stadium. If you're not with them, you are deemed against them. Meaning, I come out against Antifa violence. I come out against the disgusting way Antifa members talk about cops. And I was immediately labeled either a white supremacist, a Nazi, or a supporter of white supremacy and Nazis. You throw in the bootlicker stuff here and there that I get every once in a while. And it's simply because I said Antifa violence is wrong. Oh, so if you're not a member, if you're not a fan, if you're not a supporter of Antifa, that means you're not anti-fascist? No, no, no. I actually know what the term fascist means. There's kind of a difference there. I'm totally against fascism. I'm a gay Jew. It turns out fascists don't like my kind. It turns out they're coming after me first, not you, the privileged dude who's got the season tickets to a Sounders game wearing a $125 jersey. They're not coming after you first. They're coming after me. And thank you for your offer of support to defend me against the imaginary Nazis and fascists you think are coming after me. I'm okay on my own because you're not actually an ally. You act as fascist as the fascists you pretend are out there act. Now, a lot of MLS fans are pissed off with this decision, but not all of them. In fact, when you look at what's going on in Seattle, and this makes sense from a certain perspective of progressives kind of take over things in Seattle. They're very loud. And so they love this. But I spoke with a former U.S. men's national team player who, again, we're not going to name because this individual doesn't want to be harassed and hounded by the lunatics who support Antifa violence. He pointed out an unintended consequence that I actually think might happen. Maybe not immediately. Maybe not even in Seattle because we don't have a home game for, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks? He said to me, I hope that people will now wear the MAGA gear to MLS games. I hope they fly Trump 2020 flags. The Antifa thugs have just fought and won the freedom of political expression without censorship or judgment. They must now honor that from all who wish to express this newly achieved freedom at MLS games. I will not be surprised when they show their true fascist agenda by pushing MLS to ban those they disagree with from expressing their differing political beliefs. We've already seen Proud Boys, an organization I don't particularly like. They've already showed up and caused some problems. ECS members caused some problems with them as well. I am concerned that they're not just going to show up again to a game, which, by the way, you have no control over. Progressive fans of the Sounders, they can march all they want. They can peacefully march all they want. They can wear whatever clothes they want and fly whatever flag they want. I also fear that this is going to start happening in our stadiums. And there's going to be fights. There's going to be disagreements. But above all, there's going to be a spotlight on them instead of the spotlight on the pitch. The reason why I like soccer is the same reason why a lot of you like whatever sport you're passionate about. Some of you love the Mariners. Some of you love the Seahawks. Some of you love the Silver Tips and Tacoma Rainiers. I love the Sounders. And part of it is because for 90 minutes once a week, I get to completely ignore all the other nonsense that I deal with Monday through Friday, all the political nonsense. Now, I know these people feel like they're actually fighting Nazis, but they don't really feel that. They just say that because then they look better towards other people. They can say, I'm a good person. I'm a hero. I fight fascists. I fight Nazis. The reason why you know they don't even believe what it is they say is if we really had a Nazi problem, you know what they wouldn't be doing? Going to a 90-minute game on a Saturday or Sunday. They'd be out on the streets doing something more than waving a really big Iron Front flag. I don't want sports to become divisive. I didn't like it when NFL players decided to kneel during the national anthem because they made it divisive. I don't like any sport that does the opposite of what it's supposed to do, which is unite us. Sounders are supposed to unite Western Washington, all of Washington State, to fight for this team against all of the others. The same way the NFL and the Seahawks are supposed to unite us against opponents, and the Mariners unite us against opponents. This divides. It's a bad business strategy from the MLS, and it's ultimately going to make going to Sounders games enjoyable. It's going to make it a little less enjoyable. It's going to make it more difficult for conservatives who I want to watch the game and listen and read about and go. It's going to make it harder for us to actually grow this league. And so I'm still going to go to games, but I'm not going to pitch the league to anybody anymore. I'm not going to talk to someone who already is all like, man, soccer's not that exciting. It's kind of boring. Usually I come back and I've got a passionate rebuttal for that. I'm not doing it anymore because this is a team and this is a league that doesn't appreciate me. It still brings me joy to watch and go to games, but I'm not going to pitch it anymore. 1-800-465-8770. Please help me out and post this story. Text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, text that keyword RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
Democrats push for impeachment before even reading the transcript of President Trump speaking with Ukraine President Zelensky. And now we know exactly why. It doesn't actually show quid pro quo, nor did it include the 8 instances of hardcore pressure into an investigation of Joe Biden. Joining me on the line to discuss is Harmeet Dhillon. She's a lawyer, a member of the RNC, and the national co-chair of the group Women for Trump. Harmeet, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here again.
So from a criminal perspective, how much of a dud was this transcript?
It was a total dud. It was a, you know, dead cat bounce, as they say. Nothing is going to come out of this other than Democrats looking like they've overreached yet again. This would be coming on the heels of the Russia overreach. They now have the Ukraine overreach. And if they think they're going to be able to get this president convicted in the Senate, they're out of their minds.
Yeah, they're clearly not going to be able to get Senate support. I'm assuming they would be able to get House support just because of how ideological this is. But I'm wondering from the media perspective, and there were a lot of media members today saying quite the opposite of what you and I think about this. You had Dan Abrams, I believe it was on ABC, make the point of, oh, this is actually much, much worse than people thought. How much do you think the general public, who's not going to read the transcript, how much do you think the truth is going to get to them versus just being told a bunch of lies?
Well, I think the ambient lies on the television and radio waves are something that the public has become accustomed to, but we don't have ambient impeachments in this country, you know. Yeah. And the last time in recent memory that people who are looking at this would have seen impeachments, in one case, President Nixon avoided it by resigning, and that was a fairly egregious set of facts. And then President Clinton survived a partisan impeachment effort, and that was very damaging for the party pursuing it, our party, the Republican Party. And so I think, you know, it's very divisive. And while people are talking smack in Congress right now, you have to wonder if they were to call the question and call the vote right now, how many freshmen, how many people in purple districts are really going to want to sign up for a failed impeachment effort? I think it's not going to be as many as the leadership thinks.
I agree with that as well, but I'm trying to figure out, and tell me your thoughts on this. Was Nancy Pelosi's hand sort of forced on this, or do you think she actually wants to move forward?
I think her hand was forced. She's been one of the strong voices of reason on the Democrat side all along, and I don't see that this set of facts, this unknown content of an unknown call, would have flipped her and in the merits. I think it's the politics that forced her hand, because she was probably getting threats from her caucus about the need for impeachment, and so she bowed to that, hoping that this transcript would show what was promised by the whistleblower. It turned out not to. So now she's exposed. So we'll see how hard she pushes. But right now, all she's done is saying, really, the committees are going to keep doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. These 6 committees are already investigating the president. They're going to keep doing that. If she really wanted to put her money where her mouth was, she'd call a vote.
Yeah, and of course, she's not going to do that because she knows the political implications of that. And I'm wondering, in the short term, what do you think the consequences are on this move?
Nothing. She's probably going to try to slow play it and say, well, let's let the committees do their work, and it quietly fades away, she hopes. I don't see her, you know, pushing for a vote on these facts, but who knows? I could be wrong. Yesterday, in the beginning of this week, I would have told you she wouldn't be dumb enough to go for impeachment, but yet there she was.
Yeah, there she was. How does this shape the primary for the Democrats? Do you think this is going to play a meaningful enough role to sort of switch the dynamics of the two or three-ish leaders?
Yes, I think it is a crippling blow to Joe Biden. And maybe that was by design. Maybe the whistleblower is really acting on behalf of one of the other candidates. It helps Elizabeth Warren, who's now the sort of leading candidate of the Bernie wing of the party. And that's the dynamic I see emerging. It's going to strengthen the hand of the non-Biden candidates.
Well, and see, that's what I don't understand from Nancy Pelosi's perspective. I have to assume that she looks at the data and says, okay, Joe Biden, say what you will of you know, the phony that he's become, he's still generally perceived as more moderate, certainly in the context of the people he's running against. And she's got to understand, Pelosi, that he's probably the best shot that they have at taking back the White House. So why do something that would undercut the best shot I think they likely have versus someone like Elizabeth Warren, who there's no way that this country is going to embrace socialism the way they think they will?
I'm not sure she thought that through. So I think that's my answer to that. I think it was a rare political blunder by a very gifted politician, Nancy Pelosi.
So then what does Trump do moving forward? Does he keep just being as open as possible on this?
He's trolling them today. I think the transparency was unexpected by the Democrats. I think that's turned out well for him, but I don't think he's really moved. I think partisans are going to take out of this what they had before, except I really think it's pretty clear the country is not a fan of impeachment. Only very radical Democrat partisans are in the middle of the country, and the conservatives think this is a big waste of time.
Yeah, when you go on Twitter and impeach Trump is a trend, it's a good reminder to say Twitter is not actual real life. Twitter is just Twitter. That's what they do on Twitter, and that's okay. But it's fooling a lot of people into taking a position that I don't think will help anybody. If you've just been listening.
Agree.
Harmeet Dillon is a lawyer, member of the RNC, and the national co-chair of the group Women for Trump. Harmeet, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Celebrity news.
So I was a little bummed that we didn't cover this yesterday, and I wasn't going to do it today because it's a little bit old at this point. But I'm seeing folks on Twitter kind of having a meltdown that Sean Spicer did not get kicked off of Dancing with the Stars, which is again, I don't know if he'll go all the way because there are a whole lot of other things at play, and I don't even understand the rules because I tried to figure it out because I've never actually watched the show because it's stupid, just based on the concept of it. But the people who watch Dancing with the Stars are more likely than not going to be conservative. These are people who are a little bit older, who live in middle America, not necessarily the woke millennial kid who lives in Seattle. They're the ones who are watching Dancing with the Stars. And the media and the activists on Twitter have turned Sean Spicer into a cause that they should get behind because they don't like the way Trump has been treated, nor do they like the way Trump administrators, admin officials have been treated. And so they have a little bit extra reason to not just watch, but also, you know, kind of vote for their guy. And you know who doesn't have that? Who was kicked up? The Supremes' Mary Wilson. She doesn't have that kind of love and support from the greater community because no one's going after the Supremes and saying, you know who's like the most overrated band ever? The Supremes. And then everyone, of course, would be outraged by that. And then maybe they would go ahead and support her.
Well, and thank goodness. I mean, Ray Lewis survived to see another day on the show. So,
yeah, that's so again,
Spicer wasn't even in the bottom group.
Exactly. The bottom two were Ray Lewis and Mary Wilson from The Supremes.
Which Ray Lewis danced coming out of the tunnel every Sunday. You'd think he'd be somewhat good, but he's not.
I'm going to be totally honest. I've watched not a lick of this except for the Sean Spicer performance. That's the only thing I've seen, and he's awful. And the fact that he didn't even get into the bottom two shows you there's a lot of people, I guarantee you, who are watching this because of their political beliefs. Everything has become political. And you know what? It's not the conservatives' fault on this. They did nothing. We did absolutely nothing on this. People got crazy because Sean Spicer was booked. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Whoa, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. You know what I love about the Big Local? We talk about and focus exclusively on the communities you live in, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle. And we start in Whatcom County, where they decided to kill the poop fairies program. They killed the poop fairy! What is that? Well, in this case, it's a couple of women who go to parks and pick up dog poop, and they've got a little bit of a fairy outfit on. Now, they'll leave the homeless poop on the parks because that's just demeaning. So they focus exclusively on the dog poop.
So does that mean you're going to dress up next weekend and you're going to be the homeless poop fairy?
No, but it does give me a good way to get you more invested in the show and to step up a little bit because, you know, we've got your weekly Seahawks feature. I've been wanting you to do a little bit more. You're brand new, but you've got the swing of things. Now,
I'm not a field reporter.
Oh, you are now. You're a poop field reporter. So they're just kind of going around. Erica Douglas is one of the women. She's a water quality coordinator for Whatcom County Public Works. She's one of the poop fairies going around, and she ends up talking with the Bellingham Herald.
Poop fairy doesn't really exist, but we decided...
Oh, man. Why did you include that in the clip?
Should I end it with it?
Okay, I'm sorry. Dude, I'm sorry. Let me fix that. Folks with kids in the car, we're going to be a little bit honest about the poop fairy. And if your kids are not ready to hear, you know, us talk openly and honestly about the poop fairy, tune out for just 30 seconds, or, you know, tell your kid I'm lying, because I apologize for that. You know, when we talk about certain things, Easter Bunny, Santa, the poop fairy, we're supposed to give that kind of warning. So my apologies.
Poop fairy doesn't really exist, but we decided that we'd have a little bit of fun and be silly out here and make ourselves really obvious with fairy wings and a poop wand.
Do you want a poop wand? Doesn't that mean poop magically appears? Or does it mean it disappears? I feel like if you're using a wand, I guess both.
I remind folks about picking.
And now I know what was on the end of that wand. We were wondering. Now I know.
Up after their dogs. Dog sewage is just like raw human sewage, and it isn't treated. So we have a responsibility to pick up and bag it and toss it in the garbage.
Yeah. So they're doing it again to, as she just said, kind of point out that when you don't pick up after your dog, especially in a park near water, it can seep into the water, it can contaminate it. And that's, you know, pretty much a serious thing that we got to avoid.
We have several areas where we have too much bacteria poop getting into the water. Yeah. And talking about poop has kind of been a taboo subject. But
okay, no, it hasn't. That stopped when Everybody Poops came out, that book. It's no longer, you talk to a kid, that's all they want to talk about.
We're trying to bring some humor so that we can talk to folks not only about poop that comes from livestock and pets and humans, but just really open up that conversation so we can help people find solutions to reduce the amount of bacteria getting into our waterways.
Just imagine her at a dinner party. Just at a cocktail party. Just listen to what she's going to be talking about nonstop. Here's the deal. We shouldn't have poop fairies and we shouldn't make it a joke. Why don't you start shaming the dog owners who don't pick up after their dogs? Not because... I love the whole part. I just didn't have a bag on me. You didn't bring one because you're lazy and no one likes to pick it up. And yet, if you're going to have a dog, go ahead and pick it up. Speaking of dogs, by the way, a Vancouver canine unit broke free from its police handlers and attacked some random dude that was not at all involved in the incident that the cops were there responding to. This according to KATU News. But I have a blind loyalty to both cops and dogs, and so I'm just going to assume that this dude was hiding something and that the dog sensed it, and I'm going with the dog. I'm going full in with the dog. I know that he was completely across the street, and cops are saying, we don't suspect. No, I'm going with the dog. Dog's right. Nathan Lux, random dude who was across the street in his apartment. He was watching what went on outside, and he decided, like most people decide, he took out his phone and he started to film, videotape the scene as it unfolded, including when this dog ran across the street and attacked the random dude. This sounds completely staged, or like he knew it was going to go viral once he posted it on Instagram or YouTube.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Oh.
Holy shit, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we are. No, it's fake.
This guy just got attacked by a dog. Are you kidding me?
That's not real, right? That cannot be real.
Oh, it is.
No, it's not. It's not a good fake.
This guy just got attacked by a dog.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Honey, turn the page over. Oh my God. I can't read that. It's a dude getting attacked by a dog. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, he did speak to KTU and said he was shocked, which we knew because he said, oh my God, four times.
I just really couldn't believe that was happening.
It was a
split second moment of just got to get history, got to get documented.
History.
All it was like history. Hearing was just heal, heal, heal. And so the dog was not listening to any of the commands whatsoever.
History in the making. History unfolded right before his eyes.
That's going to be in textbooks someday.
Someday people will say Nathan Lux caught a random act of a dog kind of just attacking a dude who, by the way, is okay. And then, without any expertise or knowledge whatsoever, he declares...
Animals are just going to go off of instinct. Like, you can put all that, like, psychological work into them and think that you have them completely controlled, and then they'll just snap one day.
I'm sorry, but how the hell do you know that?
How does he know?
You think he knows what he's talking about? You think he has any clue? And you know what? Shame on KATU-TV for interviewing him and putting that part of it. Why don't you talk to a vet? I'm saying maybe he heard it from a veterinarian, right? Go talk to the actual expert who can deal with dogs. you just never know with these animals. This is useless as man on the street audio. God, I hate these people sometimes. Finally, I will give kudos to Attorney General Bob Ferguson when he does something good, and I found the one thing he's done that I actually agree with. He is going after a pair of robocalling companies that are based also out of Vancouver. The companies are called U.S. Air Ducts and Sky Builders, Inc., and DLM Services, Inc.
The scale of the robocalls is especially disturbing because that touches so many Washingtonians.
Literally, it touches you. The two companies specialize in air duct cleaning. The lawsuit that the state attorney general just dropped accuses them of calling more than 1 million people 13 million times. That's a lot. And it happened just across 2 years.
These are even folks who, by the way, signed up for Do Not Call This. In other words, consumers who did everything right. And these actors went around that anyway with their robocalls.
So in addition to that, he says the company sent tens of millions of deceptive mailers to Washington citizens across the last 2 years.
They're doing all sorts of things to do one thing: remove your hard-earned money from your pocketbook.
And they argue that these two companies swindled a whole bunch of clients out of thousands of dollars by selling phony VIP cleaning packages. Ferguson filed a motion for a temporary restraining order, which has been granted, and it blocks the companies from using deceptive tactics until they can go in front of a court of law, which seems like a rather silly thing because you're already not supposed to break the law and you're accusing them of breaking the law. So I'm not entirely sure if this is going to change anything. My guess is they're going to skip town. But they're presumed innocent until proven otherwise.
Look, there's protesters outside of the Capitol building going at Jay Inslee for all this sort of stuff. This is what I care about right now, is robocalls. I get hit with too many of these a week, and I am fed. Yesterday, one during the show, and I was like, oh goodness.
Wait. Before you say it, tell me if this was... Did you pick up?
I did.
Okay, tell me if this... This is your last warning that you're about to lose out, and that's when I hang up. I got last warning robocalls 4 times yesterday, 8 times the day before. This is your last warning to sign up for blah, blah, and then I just hang up.
I wish it was one of those. You want to know what it was instead? A screeching beep. Loud. I was on speaker in here. I'm glad my microphone was off. And I was like, oh.
There was no, that's it?
I was like, this might be a guess. I answered it.
Uh-huh.
And I freaked
out. That's it?
Yeah. It was loud,
too. What if someone's trying to send you a fax? Because you're young. That sounds like a fax machine.
I know what a fax... I've seen VHSs.
Okay.
And they have faxes in the back corner of the office.
Okay. I'm just saying. I hate robocallers. I think Bob Ferguson going after them is something that we can all celebrate. I don't like Bob Ferguson, but you know what? Going after robocallers, which I think should be punishable by the death penalty for anyone who does it, I think going after them is a great thing, but they're all innocent until proven guilty.
I'll back you on that.
You know what the worst is? I'll get phone calls. And the same thing with you is like maybe a source is calling me or a potential guest. And I look down, it's like Maple Valley. I'm like, do I know anyone? I don't know anyone in Maple Valley. I don't think, but okay, hello? This is your last warning. And then I'll get a call from, it'll say Covington. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's Christina Soltis, who's running for Covington City Council, giving me a call. She's got a big scoop. Nope, it's the robocall. Oh, Bremerton. Bainbridge Island is the one that when it says Bainbridge Island, that's always a crank call. So I just ignore that one.
See, I miss the days when robocalls were offering me free cruises and free things.
Oh, I got that the other day, telling me that due to a mistake with my upcoming Hilton stay, I didn't say where, we're granting you a free upgrade. I'm not staying at a Hilton? I would never. That's disgusting. I'm not staying at a Hilton.
That's the line.
What are you, nuts?
Jeez.
What am I, an animal?
Have fun riding the Metro bus back, though.
Hello. Oh, shut up. That was good. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. If you're trying to figure out why Nancy Pelosi yesterday decided to announce the impeachment inquiry officially, you're like a lot of others trying to figure it out. I have my positions. We spoke with Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers last hour. She had her take. Liz Cheney from Wyoming, she actually had a really interesting take. The Congresswoman spoke to the press today.
When Speaker Pelosi went out yesterday and announced that there would be an impeachment inquiry of the President of the United States, at that moment, our president was up in New York at the General Assembly. And he was there having meetings, as presidents do during those sessions, bilateral meetings with other heads of state. There was absolutely no justification to launch this impeachment inquiry at all. No reason she had to do it yesterday.
And that, I think, is interesting, because her main point is it's to take away and delegitimize the work that President Trump is doing. Now, I don't know if that's really why Nancy Pelosi did it. I kind of fall into the camp of she was just being pressured so much by her base in that party, the loud squad members and people who are progressive saying, now you got to do something, you got to do it. So she decided to do it. I don't think she expected that the president was going to release the transcript. And once she announced once it started to leak that at 2:00 yesterday, she was going to make this announcement, couldn't really pull it back. But I did think it was interesting because, yes, Congresswoman Cheney is 100% right that for the most part, there wasn't really a focus on President Trump at the UN. It wasn't a focus. There wasn't a focus on his speech beyond anyone who maybe watched it live. And there was a moment during the speech that I wanted to pay a little bit of attention to, that I wanted to put a spotlight on. It's only a minute and a second long. And it's an incredibly important minute and a second long, because we hear over and over and over again how much of a bigot President Trump is. Biggest bigot, and oh my gosh, you know who he hates most of all? Gay people. He hates the LGBTQ community. God, he's the absolute worst. He set us back decades. And yet, he is a president who has not just an openly gay ambassador who serves in Germany, but he has empowered him to actually go around the globe and try to decriminalize homosexuality, which was a point that the president made yesterday in front of the UN.
As we defend American values, we affirm the right of all people to live in dignity. For this reason, my administration is working with other nations to stop criminalizing of homosexuality, and we stand in solidarity with LGBTQ people who live in countries that punish, jail, or execute individuals based upon sexual orientation. We are also championing the role of women in our societies. Nations that empower women are much wealthier, safer, and much more politically stable. It is therefore vital not only to a nation's prosperity, but also is vital to its national security to pursue women's economic development.
So does that sound like a horrible bigot? I can understand certainly some disagreements on policies that the president might endorse, especially as it relates to transgender folks in the military. I get the discomfort from the LGBTQ community on that. Totally do. But these are not the words of a bigot. And boy, do Democrats try really, really hard to talk about how bigoted the president is. But he spoke in a very sobering way. He's the only candidate who held the position of the legalization of gay marriage prior to actually being installed, voted into the White House. But as he's making that sobering message at the LGBTQ panel last week, where the Democrats decided to pander in the most absurd way possible, this is what Joe Biden said.
In prison, the determination should be that your sexual identity is defined by what you say it is, not what, in fact, the prison says it is. And in that case, you should be entitled also to OGBYN. Anyway,
boy,
you didn't ask that question, but you're not likely to either, I guess.
Oh, he couldn't remember all the letters at the end, which, to be fair, there are a lot of letters, but that's a crazy position. That if you're simply biologically male, and even up until the moment that you're about to be put in jail, you can say, oh, no, I identify as a woman. We're supposed to just say, oh, okay, sounds good, we'll go ahead. What if, and I'm throwing this out there, not as a joke, even though I know it's going to sound like one, but this idea that if you are biologically male but identify as female or vice versa, you should go to the jail that corresponds with your gender identity. Okay, fine. But isn't there a rather large movement within the Progressive Party that believes that there are people who are without gender? Whether we're talking about gender nonconforming or people who literally say, I don't have a gender. Where do you put them? Is that a get out of jail free card for them? Because I feel like that might be abused.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean that legit. I honestly, I'm asking that question legitimately.
I don't have an answer for you.
No one does, but they'll provide a whole bunch of gibberish to get to the end of a talking point. Also, they can say they're super woke on these issues, whereas you don't really hear any of that stuff coming from the president because the media doesn't like to highlight that stuff from the president. They only like to highlight the stuff that they can criticize. I love it. The LGBT, and you know, he couldn't finish. He couldn't remember
he's
the
old.
14 other letters
he forgets
and symbols.
A lot.
Yeah, that's true. It's like 112. It's a Jason Rancho.